Greg talk about fighting, because I'm a lover. How many of y'all are fighters like Greg? You can relate to fighting and all that. Okay, yeah. A few of you. Matt, you too? You didn't raise your hand. All right. If you have your Bibles, open them up to James chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. How many of you like to play Monopoly? How many of you, raise your hand high. If you're a Monopoly player, Callie, you don't like it? No? Nobody else like it? Dina, all right, yeah. How many of you have ever gotten in trouble playing Monopoly? Matter of fact, my wife thought she wanted to play Monopoly with me and my brother and some other people, and she decided, we haven't played Monopoly in a long time because there's something within all of us that wants to destroy. We want to own all the property. We want to put people out. We used to, you know, you build the houses that you put on. You build them one at a time. And one of the joys we used to have is making someone would get the crane up, like we'd have to pick, you know, their houses and just be as annoying as possible. I mean, it was just fun. And to me, putting someone out of their misery by sending them out of the game was just part of the fun. And it was just vicious. But you know, I started thinking about it. But Monopoly is a lot about what James is talking about in James chapter 5. Verses 1 through 6. We live in a world that is about destroying and taking and wanting and joy almost in taking from others. And I can remember just being so into the game and you know, how everybody has a special piece, you know. There's the dog, there's the thimble. I didn't ever want the thimble. Race car, how many of you like the race car? Okay, I bet Greg did. Did you have to fight? You know, all this fighting stuff, Greg, he kept saying it over again, I love to fight. I'm thinking, that hurts. When you hit somebody with your hand, that hurts. And but anyway, does everybody remember how much money you get when you pass go? 200. And doesn't everybody have their own little set of rules where if you do certain things? Okay, on three, I want you to shout out your favorite piece of property. 1, 2, 3. You like the railroads? That's why you're no good. She wants all four. And haven't you all had that joy of saying, okay, I won't charge you rent if you will sell me that piece of property for $5 or give it to me and I'll let things slide. I mean, we've all been there. And in James chapter 5, you have this Monopoly game where God says that's not the right way to play. Look at what it says here. It says in verse 1, look here, you rich people. Most commentators, most scholars think that he's not talking to Christian rich people, but he's talking to people who their whole life is about riches and money and power and possessions. As a matter of fact, in chapter 4, at the end of chapter 4, we talked about it last week where James, the brother of Jesus, gets on to these Christians because they've left God out of their business life. And they're talking about living their life and moving here and making money. And never once is there the mention that God is in control. And a lot of times what James is going to talk about is not only do we leave God out of our business life, but we leave God out of our schedule. We say we're going to do this. We make our plans and then ask God to bless our plans. And so what happens, James says, is a lot of times we live our lives like we're atheists. We don't consult God. And when he gets here to chapter 5, he's going to talk about leaving God out of your stuff and your money. And he says, look here, you rich people, weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver are corroded. The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This corroded treasure you have hoarded, that's a key word, you have hoarded, will testify against you on the day of judgment. And then he says, for listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated out of their pay. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's armies. And then he says in verse 5, you have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fatted yourselves for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. You see, I really believe in this passage, James is talking about people who leave God out of their finances, who leave God out of their possessions. And when you do that, when you live like an atheist, when you say, God, this is my stuff, I earned it, it's my money. Whenever you begin to have this idea that it's yours, you're in danger. You've got to come to the realization that if you can get up and go to work, it's because God has allowed you to. The fact that you can stand up, the fact that you can think, the fact that you can earn money is a gift from God. And listen, the tornado in Little Rock reminded it can be taken away just like that. Life is so temporary. And one of the things James is saying here, riches are temporary. He says in verse 1, you need to be weeping and groaning. And why? Because you have gone after all this stuff and left God out of it. You have gone after all these possessions. You have made money your God. That's the first point he says. Riches are a terrible God. If your God in this life is your stuff, your money, you have a terrible, terrible God. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, you can't have God and money at the same time. You have to make a choice about who is going to be your God. And one of the problems is people start to pursue possessions and money as if it's theirs and they earned it and it's all theirs. And they leave God totally out. He gets no credit. He gets no glory in it all. And Jesus dealt with this when he was teaching his disciples. Turn to Luke 12. He tells a story that I love in Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 13. Because he was a rabbi, because he was a teacher, people a lot of times would ask questions that he would have to settle and decide the right way to handle the situation. In verse 13 it says, then someone called from the crowd, teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me. Jesus replied, friend, who made me judge over you to decide such things as that? Then he said, Jesus said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. And then he says this, and we need to hear this. Life is not measured by how much you own. And then he told him a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. And it always gets me, this next part. He doesn't have room for all his crops. Now, what I would do is I would have kept my barn and added a couple more. Right? Wouldn't you? But look what he did. And I don't really understand this, but he says, Then he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns. Why don't you just add to the barn you have? I don't get that. And he says, then I'll have enough room to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Now this guy works hard and he's got all these barns full of food. And you would think successful, and his God was his stuff. But look what it says right after that. But God said to him, You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Having had two parents die, I've had to learn the reality of that. Everybody else gets your stuff. You get the job of going in and figuring it out. And here's the thing. He had all this food. It was stored. It was hoarded. But he didn't even get to enjoy it. He died. See, there are a lot of people who think, I'm going to get all this stuff and then I'm going to enjoy life. No, you enjoy life now. And then he said, but God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you work for? And verse 21 says it all. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. I mean, your stuff is a terrible God. Your stuff is a horrible God. It ends up in a garage sale. Having the church garage sale this week is a humbling thing because so much of the stuff that we put in and you put in is stuff we had to have. And you pay top dollar and you sell it for a quarter. It's just stuff. And there's so many people think that I will have life and life will be good when I have a bigger house, when I have a car, when I have all this stuff. But the truth is, you'll never be happy if that's the way you view life. Riches are a terrible God. And one of the things you need to understand is you can try. I see it on Facebook all the time. My friends, they'll try a new boat. They'll try a new car. They'll try a new this. They're always trying something new. And they're never happy. And the truth is, if you can be happy with God without all that stuff, you'll be really happy when you have stuff. But not reverse. It doesn't work. So riches are not a good God. Second thing, riches are temporary. I mean, that is so true. Everything wears out. Look at me. This morning, I put up some pictures on Facebook of back when I was 16. And my mom looked so young, and I looked so young, and my sister was a little girl, and my brother was younger. I'm 64 now. I'm living proof that life is temporary. Every year I live, I get a little slower, a little achier. And James is saying here, listen, he's saying your stuff is temporary. Your wealth is literally rotting away, he says. They were storing up food items, and they started having so much food that it was rotting. Now, nothing drives me more crazy than going to the refrigerator and find food that's out of date and have to throw it away. It just bothers me. Why? Because it's wasting. It does no one any good. And yet, so many times I go in there and not too long ago I told Julie, don't buy any meat for a while because we got a lot of it in our freezer because we just get so busy with life and buy and save. And we end up throwing it out. I bet we've thrown out blackberries by the dozens. You know, they look in there and they've got, I forget they're in there because there's so much stuff in there. But he's saying riches are temporary and part of their wealth was in food. And then he says, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten. Now, one of the signs of the rich and famous back then was the elaborate clothing, and you could tell someone was wealthy by what they wore. And he says, listen, guess what? There's this thing called a moth, and it ruins good stuff. How many times have we pulled out clothes? Julie, we remember that time we were in Monroe, Louisiana, and I don't know if the moths were hungry or what. She'd pull out her sweater, and it'd have a little bitty hole in it. And it's like, oh my goodness. And then there's, and I'm, what are we doing wrong? I don't see moths. But it's temporary. It's a reminder that your clothing is temporary. And he says, be aware of that. Now, you need to remember that poor people in that day, they only had one set of clothes. They didn't have to worry about the moths because they only had one pair. And moths don't get on you when you're wearing it all the time. So things are temporary. And then he talks about your gold and your silver are corroded. And you know, it didn't rust, but it would corrode, it would darken. And we just got to remember that things are temporary. One of my favorite scriptures about wealth is Proverbs chapter 23. Look at it real quick. These Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. It says this. What did I say? 23, not 3. You need to write this down, all of y'all that just think you had to have more and more. Here's what he says. Proverbs 23, verse 4. Don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. And then he says this. In a blink of an eye, wealth disappears. Let the stock market crash and you lose thousands. Let a tornado come in and your beautiful home is rubbish. In a blink of an eye. He says, in a blink of an eye, wealth disappears, for it will sprout rings and fly away like an eagle. If you base your life on things and wealth, and you're not going to be very happy. Everything is temporary. Third thing, riches are not to be hoarded. James speaks against the sin of hoarding. Hoarding is this. Hoarding is having so many things that you cannot manage the clutter where you live. Sounds like my house. And find it difficult or impossible to throw things away. You know, my mom, bless her heart, I loved her to death, but how many of you know what Francoma pottery dishes, plates are? Everybody know what Francoma is? Okay, it's a pottery, and my mom had it, my grandmother had it, and I always wanted it. Well, she wouldn't give it to me while she was alive. I don't know why. You know where she kept it? In the garage, above the dryer and washing machine, in a little closet where nobody could see it or use it. I was the only one that wanted it. And so after she passed, I got it cracked because it had been out in the elements. I can't tell you how many things I got out of the garage that were ruined because she had it stored and hoarded. I don't know why she felt compelled to do that, but you can ask Julie. Every closet was full of stuff. I don't know. Riches are not to be hoarded. It would have been so much nicer if Mom would have said, hey, I'd like you to have this now while I'm alive and all that. But you know, people a lot of times hoard and hoard. Let me tell you something. One of the nice things about the church garage sale is this. If you take it serious, it's a great thing. So we'll have one again, so you'll have an opportunity. Here's what a church garage sale it is. You take something that you bought, that you wanted, that you had to have, and you have an opportunity not to hoard it, but to sell so someone else can go on a mission trip and someone else can enjoy what you no longer enjoy because you're cleaning out your closets and getting rid of stuff you hadn't seen. The church garage sale is a very freeing thing. And you take it and you give it and someone else benefits. What does that stuff in your closets benefit you if you never get to enjoy it? You see, the hoarding part is where you don't enjoy it and where nobody benefits from it. It's not wrong to have stuff. It's wrong to selfishly keep stuff that you don't even enjoy yourself. Riches are not to be hoarded. And we need to understand that. The fourth thing is riches. Let me see here. Yeah, riches should be earned honestly. You see, what happened in verse 4 is instead of earning their money honestly, they started ripping off the people that worked for them. The laborers back then were day laborers, and they depended on your pay for that day to eat, to survive. I saw that in the Dominican Republic. A lot of times they would hire the Haitians to work for them, and the Haitians literally, and a lot of Dominicans too, literally live on what they make that day. It's how they eat. And one of the things I saw happen years ago in the capital is they would hire the Haitians to come work who were starving to death and weak, and they would come work, and they couldn't finish out the day, so they didn't get what? Paid. And yet they were starving to death. And so what we did, we came in and paid them to work for us what we would pay anybody to work for us. But you see, you can find a way to take advantage of people, and those poor guys who worked 7 hours instead of eight didn't get paid. Well, that's what's happening here. They're earning their money illegally, and then in verse 6 it talks about they're even killing people and getting their land and their money. And really what James is saying, earn your money honestly. Another thing in verse 5, riches can lead to selfish indulgence. The problem with riches is not riches, it's when it's all about you and nobody else. Look at verse 5. He says, you have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. And then he uses this phrase, you have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. These, you know, one of the things I've read is that you used to fat the calf, you'd get the cow and you feed them extra, and I'm sure all the other cows are thinking, hey, that cow's getting special treatment. But that cow's getting special treatment for a special day when they slaughtered the fatted calf. And we need to understand what James is saying here. Some of y'all been fat calves. I mean, you're fat daddies, you're living. It's all about me. It's my money. I'm living wealth. I don't care about anybody else, and I don't care about God, and it's my stuff. And you know what James would say? There's a day awaiting you. There's a day. There is nothing wrong with money. The only problem with money is when it's yours and yours alone. And I want to close with this because I don't want you to think negative. It's just a preacher trying to get money out of us. That's the way it always goes. But I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I'm closed. I know I want you to see this because it is so important. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. The issue is not money. The issue is when you don't care about anybody else with money. And listen to what Paul is teaching Timothy. I love this. Verse 17, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud. So in other words, if you got a lot of money, be grateful. Don't be proud. It's not because of anything you did. It's because God allowed you to do it. And then he says, and not to trust in their money. Why? It is so it's so unreliable. It can be here one day and gone the next. And then he says this. He says, their trust should be in God. Okay? Trust Him who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. So here's what he's saying. God is not against you enjoying what He's blessed you with. It's very important to understand that. If you have a place, a cabin somewhere else, two or three homes, that's not a sin. God's blessed you. Just make sure you're aware of your brother and sister who may not have as much. Look what he says. He says, tell them to use their money to do good. Now let me tell you something. If you haven't ever experienced, when you take your money, when you take God's money that He's lent you, and you use it for His glory, it's a blessing. Let me tell you what. You guys have done such a good job of sending kids to camp. Do you know there's going to be some kids, when they get to heaven, you're going to see them and you're going to go, oh my goodness, I gave and sent kids to camp, and they're going to go, yeah, thank you for doing that. We need to understand that our money is to be used to do good, not just for ourselves, but for other people. It says they should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. Listen, there's nothing, listen, giving to God, giving to people is a blessing. You get it when you understand He gave it to you and you use it to bless others. It's just one of the greatest blessings that many people miss out on. Then he says in verse 19, he says, by doing this, they will be storing up treasures as a good foundation for the future so they may experience true life. Let me tell you what. When you become a giver, not a taker, life is better. You say, well, I don't have a lot of money. It's never about the money. You know, one of the greatest stories in the New Testament is about the little widow lady that didn't have any money, who gave less than everybody else and yet gave more than everybody else. It's not about the amount. It's about the heart. Because when your heart's wrong, your giving will be wrong. So I want you to understand that James is saying it is serious business to leave God out of your stuff. And one of the greatest joys is when you can bless other people with what God has blessed you with. Does that make sense? I mean, seriously, people love Christmas. I love giving. Why not enjoy it all the time? Giving is a good thing. Riches are a blessing. And I hope you won't be like the rich who only care about themselves. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that we can be generous. And I thank you for this church that has gone over and above to send kids to camp, to send people to the mission field. Lord, people that aren't going to go on the mission trip donating things for those to go. Lord, what a blessing. What a blessing it is to use our wealth for your glory and to realize you are the one who gave it to us. Father, I thank you for our church. I thank you for James. I thank you for how honest, sometimes he's pretty hard, but I thank you for how honest he is. In Jesus' name, amen.